Check. 1, 2. Testing. 1, 2. This is Mr. Nobody. Father's Day. Episode 20. I generally don't ascribe to holidays because I think they're manufactured, with the exception of a few celestial holidays, which I can accept on the basis of profound geometry. Those days are like May 1st, which is halfway between the equinox and the solstice. And November 1st, halfway between the solstice and the equinox. And of course, the solstices, the solsti, and the equini. Real undulating, powerful holidays. Holy days. Because they are about reminding us of cycles. They actually are the moment of the crest and the trough of the same wave. That wave is time. As you know, the Earth's axis is tilted at 23.5 degrees. What I didn't know is that that tilt varies in a cycle that lasts about 40,000 years, and it'll move between 22.1 and 24.5 degrees. So even that wobble is undulating and varying, in the same way that even two breaths are never exactly the same. Tilt. The reason we have seasons. If it was straight up and down, we wouldn't have seasons. Some scientists speculate that the Earth was hit by a meteor at some point, which was enough to cause that tilt in the axis. But I don't know. We do know that the Earth was hit by meteors. Father's Day. Definitely get reminded. But it's a fake holiday. It's a false holiday. It's one we put there. Father's Day. We put there. The calendar, as we know it, is relatively new. There's been ancient celebrations on those moments that dissect the seasons. People have been looking up at the sky for a long time. There's even a religion called Sabianism, spiritual practice of gazing at the sky, making inferences based on those observations. Ancient farmers used to look for the seven stars of the Pleiades to decide when they would plant. If they got it wrong, all their work went for nothing. All their people could starve because there was no margin of error. Anyway, I'm avoiding talking about it. What does it mean to be a father? In years past, when my son would call me on Father's Day, I would downplay it. I would tell him, man, it doesn't matter. Every day is Father's Day. For me. You don't have to buy into that. We only need to honor each other for the incredible experience and honor being my son and me being your father. I used to tell my son that when I would call him son, that it was a sacred moment for me, a sanctified experience to just utter that sound. And that only he would ever hear it, that it would only ever be about him. And that was a great honor for me. And it was. Father. I used to worry about my son, whether or not he would die in some terrible way. I think that's somewhat universal and probably deeply imprinted in our species. Life is dangerous, and we fear losing the most precious thing. Thing that is irreplaceable. Irreplaceable. So I used to tell him, I don't need anything. Although now, without him, forever, I sometimes wish I had a few more mementos, objects I can look at or cradle. Few more pictures or tape recordings of his voice or little movies. I sometimes think that I might be getting early onset memory loss. I don't know why. A few times I just have trouble recalling people's names or places or things, and I'll pass it off as if it doesn't matter or their name doesn't matter. The specific thing I'm talking about isn't that important. And I'll wave it away like I'm swatting a fly. But I fear losing my memory. It is all I have. His ashes are inert. He lives in my mind. Father. When he died, I was drawn to an understanding of how precious the existence of the body, the biological entity, is. And of course, the body houses the brain, the mind, the heart, the organs, all that, the mechanics. My reverence for the body deepened on a level which I can barely explain to you. You'd have to get there yourself. We all think we know this. Oh yeah, I'm here, I'm inside of here. And since I keep getting up every day, I'm probably gonna get up tomorrow, etc. But I realized that that was untrue. That there will come a time when you have to say goodbye to your anchor, to this world. And the world will keep on spinning, and those seasons will keep on undulating without you, without me. and the dead are quickly forgotten.
My reverence.
All of the interplay of everything.
Synergy.
Had such a deep
meaning.
And to take care of my own little spaceship. I realize I didn't own this. I'm merely the steward of this little spaceship. But that it only takes a pinhole to sink a submarine. And I was full of holes. Today,
tonight,
after I speak to you, I'll go to these scaffolds and I'll work on something very difficult for me. Pull-ups, squatting, and push-ups. And the hard part of that is being there. Not just getting through it so I could say that I did it, but while I'm doing it, to engage my awareness of every moment, to be inside and all around myself, and to embrace the difficulty, to live the difficulty, the pain.
Father.
I might be making up stories in my mind now, conversations that I have had with the imaginary son, and mixing them with real conversations, or as close to I can approximate real conversations that I had with him. One of the things that I wish I could do was train in jiu-jitsu with my son during this whole quarantine period. And I see other people in my telephone, and the ones that have somebody with them are so lucky. I'm not sure when that whole ability to train will come back, so I train alone, and I try to push myself. How do I know? Because I make it as hard as I can make it. And I remember when my son used to train me. We both had certain things that we could share with each other. And then we would just free fight. And sometimes that would go on for 30 minutes and we wouldn't talk anymore. It was just a moment splitting into the next moment, being wrapped by the next moment and disappearing. Time would disappear.
Father.
And we were worthy opponents because we put aside our father and our son and we respected each other enough to enter into that nobody space where we were just brothers. I'm aware. I'm very aware. Of how unique my relationship with my son was. Or should I say just how great, how beautiful. For me. You're gonna hate me for this, but it's on my mind. A month ago, I stopped drinking and I know I'm going to sound like no fun, and it's probably true, but I was walking down a city street, and all the city streets were desolate, and I looked over into the windows of stores that were empty, and I saw myself, and I could tell. When I saw myself, I caught an image of another person, a person who I didn't know, because it was just the context, just being out somewhere and catching an image of yourself that's off-angle. It's not a mirror. It's a door or some sort of strange reflection, but I could tell that I had been drinking too much. And I had, let me just say, it makes you fat, it makes you soft, and I was feeling the effects of it for weeks because I'd been sort of drinking a little bit regularly for a few months. That's all. Just truth. Just the obvious truth that we don't want to admit because we like what we're feeling. I liked obliterating myself. A beer, and then it went to two beers. Strong beers. Snob beers. Ways in which I was able to justify them as not being harmful. It's all the same. It's the cumulative effect of bad habits or bad substances. Our bodies don't lie. Only our minds do. Yep. So I just said, fuck it, I'm not gonna drink, and I just stopped. I was using it to medicate and hiding that fact from myself and poisoning myself. I even had a few mornings where I woke up and I was like, fuck, I'm actually hungover. Because things accumulate, like my good habits and my bad habits do the same thing. They stack. I'm happy to report to you that I don't miss it. I didn't like what I saw in the reflection. That is not what I learned from my son's death, to do that to myself and to lie to myself that I wasn't doing that. Sorry about that, because I know people love their beer. And now I don't even remember loving it. It's like gone. But I felt that decision being made. I felt that decision get made when I saw the truth, saw myself. I didn't deny it. I couldn't explain it away or bullshit myself into some other conversation with myself. And I said, fuck that shit. Some kid wrote me that he's 17 days clean. And I wrote him back, I'm pulling for you, man. Fuck that bullshit. That conformist, jive-ass, self-murdering bullshit. Fuck it. You'll never miss it. And he wrote me back saying he'll do his honest best. I hope he makes it. That's all I can do. This is all I can do. Wow. Well, now that I've completely bummed you out, let me sing this frickin' song since you've been putting up with this. It's a song I wrote for my own father around the time I was the age of when my son died.
So you don't like rags, 'cause they have a stink, and they no longer shine in the way that you think. You can throw them to the ground. Rags cannot defend. You know they're just rags. A rag ain't worth nothing. But a rag shows its seam, all tattered and worn. Ah, seems just some hope for two rags to cling to. We're just talking about rags that no longer gleam. When you bought them innocent and clean, yes, they're tossed into piles and they're kicked across the floor, and they're treated to filth. that no grace could restore. We're just talking about rags, so what else would you do? Something that you would not do, but would like done to you.
My own experience with my father deserves a separate podcast, I realized, because I talk about my son and my relationship, father to son, with this person. And I had my own analog of that with a different person. And it was a very different experience and not pleasant. My father was a priest with the Eastern Orthodox Church, and he was very abusive sexually and physically and emotionally. I could have handled the physical and even the verbal abuse, but the sexual abuse is unforgivable. It's straight up bullshit. So I spent a lot of years hating him. And what's weird is to hate my father when I had such a profound love, respect, and an honor for being able to have the relationship I had with my son. Those were hard things to have going on at the same time. My son never asked me about my own father. I don't know why. I didn't think he should have to hear me cry. It's not very dignified. And my emotions were muddled, mixed up, mixed between the childlike love I had for my father and the adolescent and adult hate that I felt for him, and still do. I've tried to forgive him many times, whatever that means. I know people do bad things, but my father didn't try to correct them. It just got worse. And then he died when I was 13. And I had to create mythologies mixed in with the memories. I didn't expect to be doing that with my son. And just like that kid who wrote me, if it wasn't for heroin and all the trappings and stupid garbage that comes along with it, I'm sure my son would still be alive, because he was smart and he loved life. And he had a father that loved him. People say that phrase a lot. I would have done anything for my kids. I would have died for my kids. I would have done anything for my son. I would have died for him. I was very angry that he died before me. Isn't that weird? Because there's no assurance of anything. Father's Day. Father's Day.
Father's, father's,
father's
father,
Day. Father, father, father. The last thing I'd like to tell you is that 6 months after he killed himself, I was very distraught. It came in waves, just like those undulating seasons. And some days I woke up in a rage, inconsolable sorrow. These words are approximations. And there's an old man who lives across the street from me. Through the years, he has left books right on the sidewalk. And man, I have gotten some of the most amazing books from this guy. That day, inconsolable, I walked by his apartment, and there was only one book there. And it was this faded paperback barely legible,
tiny print.
But there it was.
It was a book called
Epictetus,
The Moral Discourse.
The fuck is that?
I opened the book,
and here's what I read.
Never say of anything, I have lost it, but I have restored it. Has your child died? It is restored. Has your wife died? She is restored. Has your estate been taken away? That likewise is restored. But it was a bad man who took it. What is it to you by whose hands he who gave it has demanded it again, while he permits you to possess it, hold it as something not your own, as do travelers at an inn? My mind was restored. Because I realized I had been grieving something I had no ownership over, no control over. That a person, that every person is on their own journey, as was my father and my son.
And my son.
My son. Well-laid plans, my dreams, my desires were a fool's errand. I can't deny the grief I feel. It's profound, but I can endeavor to understand what's true and awake from my sleep. Mr. Nobody, out.
Sleep. I need sleep to come. I need sleep to feel alive. Sleep now, or I'm undone. Or else I'm only half alive. Once, when I was just a little boy, and I ran away from home. There was no circus that would take me in, but my papa found me with a rope. He took me home, he threw me. Then he taught me how to scream. My mate, man, she just hit her head. Good God, I prayed it was just a dream. And my fear, sweet low pounding drum. Good God, I'm drowning in my tears. I hope someday when we're rested, our love will break this evil. I need sleeping unmolested, and your alarm clock sounds like hell. just a little child, and someone held you in their arms. Cast aside like something wild. Now you can't rest between lines. Sleep. How could such a thing ever come to be? Beware the company. Like the swaying weeds, and do not live with your eyes closed. I know someday when we're rested, our love will break this evil spell. Sounds like hell. Your alarm clock sounds like hell.